Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. All right, I got a bit overrun, so I apologize for the delay. We'll do my best to get another quick one out by the end of today. We've got some very encouraging news to start off, and also Yang's COVID plan to go over. Let's dig in. Shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If anyone out there wants to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. Senior Democratic lawmakers are reportedly drafting a bill to expand the child tax credit as laid out in Biden's policy platform. The details are still being ironed out, but it would increase the amount of the benefit and also make the credit, which currently only reduces what you owe, into a fully refundable credit, meaning you get it regardless of what you owe. And finally, it would make them deliverable monthly rather than a lump sum at tax time. In other words, it would turn the child tax credit into a modest UBI for families with kids. Well, okay, not entirely a UBI. It is still means tested to cut off at a certain income level, likely about the same as the stimulus checks. It's also only for 1 year, though Democrats are hoping that people will demand that it be extended indefinitely once they receive it, pushing Republicans to vote with them on making the change permanent. I don't know how much faith I have in that part of the plan, but that's all the more reason that we need to get rid of the filibuster so that we don't have to rely on bipartisan support in a hyper-partisan government. This is a big deal. If we get a near UBI for kids, it gets us a great deal closer to a UBI for everyone, as well as obviously being worth supporting just to diminish child poverty and more efficient spending on welfare. Even if it starts small, it will grow once people experience it. This is something to be very excited about. Biden also passed two more executive orders, one expanding SNAP benefits and the other preparing for a $15 minimum wage, as well as repealing some Trump executive orders that made it easier to terminate federal employees and weakened unions. Actually changing the minimum wage, of course, will require Congress and is part of Biden's relief package. We've talked about how Democratic Senator Joe Manchin took an ignorant and selfish stance against $2,000 checks for Americans. Well, he's changed his tune. Why? Because his constituents in Virginia made clear the error of his ways by plaguing him with complaints, including a billboard which reads, "Hey Joe, where's my $2,000? Ask him," followed by the phone number for Joe's office. This is democracy at work, people. Bring this fire to your own home state when you need to move your congressperson. Democrats' extremely slim majority in the Senate, along with hyper-partisanship, means that even one defector can sink a bill. Manchin takes advantage of this, resisting the party line to make himself more important and to elicit bribes for compliance. We'll have to hope that Virginians will move Manchin again on eliminating the filibuster if they want Congress to get anything more done. The people need a working government. The president's party usually loses congressional seats in midterm elections as voters grow frustrated over the lack of action. One of the rare exceptions was Roosevelt, whose bold New Deal agenda earned the Democrats more seats in the midterm and a majority for many terms afterward, allowing the passage of many of America's most cherished legislation. When government gets the job done, voters reward that. Democrats, including Joe Manchin, need to stop screwing around and pass the reforms this country needs to survive and thrive, both for their sakes and for ours. Elon Musk, revolutionary entrepreneur, CEO of Tesla, and now richest man in the world, has announced he is offering a $100 million prize to whoever can provide the best carbon capture technology. If you're unfamiliar, carbon capture is anything that takes CO2 out of the atmosphere or out of emissions and sequesters, dismantles, or repurposes it. In other words, the opposite of what we usually do. It's a field that is going to need to produce some impressive results if we are to avert catastrophic climate change, as we have already passed the threshold where reducing emissions alone can stop the rise of global temperatures. We now need to start reversing the process. Stopping climate change has been Musk's primary focus since founding Tesla, along with colonizing Mars via SpaceX. Both endeavors are meant to ensure the survival of the species. Musk has recently tweeted that he's also looking for good causes to donate to. It's possible that we could get financial support from Musk for UBI, which he has already expressed some support for, including endorsing Andrew Yang for president. Elon is looking to get the most bang for his buck and looking to solve big problems. If we can develop a compelling use case for him, something that would clearly and powerfully advance the cause of UBI and make clear the benefits that could bring in general, including to solving climate change and other issues he cares about, it could be a huge boon for the movement. As Scott often says, by freeing people's minds from a focus on paying bills, UBI not only helps people directly, it increases functional intellect and expands attention on every other problem, making everything else more achievable. If anyone out there is great at making pitches, take a shot. I'd be happy to help boost it. In mayoral news, Yang has released his COVID plan, available on yangforny.com. It's basically a three-parter: make the vaccine accessible, make sure everyone knows how to get it, and make it easy for people to prove that they've been vaccinated. In more detail, the Yang administration would seek to ensure 24/7 citywide availability of the vaccine, administered by trusted providers, including at doctor's offices, safety net providers, across the five boroughs, and pharmacies, provide associated counseling in a variety of languages, prioritize those most vulnerable, including those in city jails or shelters. This one's interesting. Pay owners of shuttered businesses to reopen and temporarily retrofit for vaccine dissemination, providing both vaccine distribution and capital to those owners to help their businesses survive. Retrofit mobile food trucks. Create a single seamless web portal and phone line for vaccine signup. Launch an outreach campaign to communities of color who are extra skeptical of the vaccine due to systemic racism in healthcare. Create a smartphone app as well as a physical card to prove vaccination. Allow paid sick leave and safe time to apply to recovering from a COVID vaccine. And release a public health playbook for New York City that gathers the best practices and lessons from the COVID crisis for future pandemics. He also released a press conference on the plan alongside Torres, Cass, and Kim about this. Both Yang and Torres spoke a bit about their personal mental health experiences. In the links in the podcast description, as always. Finally, I'm busy all the time, but I finally got around to taking a peek at the Cavalry Yang Gang documentary of Yang's presidential campaign by Monica Gara, and I watched it all the way through in one sitting. First off, it does a great job of displaying a lot of the problems with our democracy in how the DNC manipulated the debates and the media manipulated information and so on. I'd recommend it for that purpose alone. The editing is exceptionally good. But second, it brought back a feeling that I had forgotten, a deep hope and sense of belonging in a revolution of positivity and humanity, which is not to say that we haven't done amazing things since the campaign, we have, but it's not quite the same for sure. Watching this documentary squeezed a few tears out of me, which is quite rare. If you were with us through the campaign, you've probably forgotten a lot of what's in here. If you've joined the movement since then, this is a great way to catch up on what you missed. I very much hope that we will all get to experience that feeling again in 2024. No matter what happens, we'll always be bound by the community that we created, by our shared purpose and hope for the future, by our desperate underdog fight for a better world. Thank you all for being a part of it. The best is yet to come. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Spread the word on the child tax credit expansion, help pressure Joe Manchin on UBI and the filibuster, make a pitch to Elon Musk for why UBI is a worthy cause for him, watch the Cavalry documentary, flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way in the links below. And don't forget to Yang Daily.